starting to take up all his time, all his memories, everything. So we know we've got our phones. I've got a, they call it a smartphone in my pocket. And on there, there's emails, there's WhatsApps, there's a lot of stuff coming through. Some people, they tell me, Yaku, don't do this and this at, between these hours because my phone makes me crazy. So my reply usually is just switch it off. So, but not everyone can switch off their phones. And I realized that the creators of the smartphone apps, they create the app to give us what we want to have. They want to give us the recognition. We want to feel important. We want to feel informed. We want to feel connected. We want to know that there's someone that liked what we said. So they will give all of that to us. So if we scroll down, it's like a never-ending, you can just scroll. And there will always be something popping up, popping up, popping up, popping up. So what they do, they will just feed us whatever we want, whatever we need in life. And that's how they create, and that's how they make business. It's pure business after all. And these things just start to create, take up all our time, take up everything we're busy with. So somewhere we need to stop all of that, and somewhere we need to realize that this is what's happening in my life. I'm reading this book, How to Lead in a World of Distraction. I think I mentioned something about that last week as well. So the guy said it's not so much the distractions that we are facing in this world, it's the cost of our distraction. It is whatever it is that those distractions are keeping us away from. So one of the things that I would like to do still is to write a children's book. So my boys, Lucy and the boys, they know about it. So we made a deal last year. If I don't publish a book by the end of this year, I'm not going to drink coffee for a year. So I'm really in trouble. But there's still a few weeks to negotiate. They reminded me the other day. I said, Daddy, how is it going to be without coffee? I said, you're talking about the book. I said, yeah. But so anyway, it's an ongoing conversation in the home at this time. And we're still busy with it. I also remember when I was studying at university. There's a lot of distractions. So we're busy all over. And in my final year, I realized that I really need to change something. I really need to focus now. One year, I just want to finish it. So I remember putting boundaries in place, stopping certain things, changing a lot of stuff just to focus on my studies. And then it went well, and I was able to get out of there. But it was a time where I had to come against those distractions and realize that this is what I need to do. And the world we're living in, it's ever-changing. The world we're living in, that's a society where everyone wants to get better. There's new innovations. It's almost like everyone wants to make it easier for us to live longer, easier for us to live better. As I stand here, easier for us to, that everything will just be easier all the time, whatever we do. There's insurance, there's for something, there's an ad on TV, what if something's go wrong or something went wrong? But as far as possible, we try to figure out our lives to make it as easy as possible, to make it that everything will work, to be all the checks and balances, everything is in place, everything is marked off, everything is perfect. And that's often what we strive for every day. And we want to create this world that's just perfect. But then on the other side, we know of all the chaos and all the stuff and all the things that are happening. And the amazing thing for me is where Jesus came and he stepped right into our world and he promised us. The one thing he promised us is his presence. His presence. And I just want to read a few scriptures for us about that. Because that's just amazing. Where there's a world where we are more connected than ever, but we're also disconnected. We're more connected on our phones and our computers and with everything else than ever before. But in a way, we're also more disconnected than ever before. My dad is still writing a letter, a physical letter, to his brother every Sunday afternoon. Till today, he's turning 79 this year. So he's got this collection of letters. And I know when my mom phoned me, she's often telling me about the spare bedroom. Who is staying there now? Who came over to spend the weekend there? Who is there with them at the moment and who is driving on? And this is the one they're going to visit. And after church, these are the people that they're going to drink tea with. These are the people they're going to visit. These are the people they're going to spend time with. And I realize I'm in this world of being connected, but also so disconnected. Where you can rate your friends. The ones that SMS, no, maybe WhatsApp, SMS, phone, email on your birthday. It's maybe not true for everyone. It's just for some. Some people will still phone. Some people just send the SMS. Some will just WhatsApp. But we try to be connected in a way that's not really real relationship. But Jesus came, and I want to read us a scripture where he just stepped into, from the beginning, Matthew 1, verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. It's God with us. That word with is the amazing word that I want to just highlight this morning. And then John 1, verse 1 to 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was with God in the beginning. The Word was with God, in the beginning was God. It is continuing, it is speaking about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they're all together, they're with one another, but they also came to be with us. And it's something that we just read over and something that we not always think about or meditate on, but it's an amazing thing that Jesus said he's going to be with us everywhere. And then again, in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, at the end, where he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And then again in Revelation, this amazing scripture, when the book of Revelation describes that final everything coming together, Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that word with, that's really describing the heart of God. That's really describing the essence of what we have today. God with us. And it's something that we certainly need to meditate on and say, with. To be with someone, to be with people, that's not always the easiest thing to do. That's where it comes into, it's uncomfortable sometimes. It's much easier to do things for people than doing stuff with people. I can do a lot of stuff for people. I can give a lot of things away for people. But it's a different story if I'm going to be with them and spending time with them and just find out what's going on in their lives. That's a whole different ballgame. And I just love how Jesus and God just set us this perfect example of restoring relationship. Where we know that sin, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the picture of where they were hiding in the garden, running away from God, suddenly there's that separation. Suddenly, what they had, the environment, the community with God is broken. And God just came through Jesus and he made a plan to restore relationship. That's why when Brent comes up here and he talks about his family and his daughter, I know that that's the heart of God. That is why Jesus came, to restore, firstly, our relationship with him, but also our relationships with one another. But then we got to stay committed and work it out. yeah, in my house, everything is not perfect. And every now and then, there's some things that happen, and there's negotiations taking place, and there's a lot of things of Daddy. Last week, that was not yesterday. Last week, you said this, and this, and this. Today, now you're saying this, and this. So now I'm not allowed to go outside, but last week you said I can go outside if I'm going with the neighbor's dad, but now what changed? Now I must recall. So, okay, so what did I say? And they don't forget anything. Yeah, Lee doesn't forget anything. And Gustav and Samuel and Luz, they don't forget. Maybe they're this young. But it's all coming back to you. And then I realized we got to work this out because we are with one another. It's not always comfortable. It's sometimes easier just to say, no, 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 no. And you just leave it and you just want to walk away. But that's not an option. We got to work it out. We got to work it through. We got to trust God to restore relationships, even when it's uncomfortable, to do so. And that's why I just love that Jesus came and he sets us the perfect example of coming to restore relationships that weren't worth. How it was just God's plan. Even when Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you. Always. And then he added, it will be better for you that I go away. I always thought the disciples, they must have had the most amazing time walking with Jesus. So you want to know something, you don't have to Google, you don't have to take out your phone and check the Bible. You just ask Jesus. Say, so what must we do? What's the next step? But then Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. I'm sent you the Holy Spirit that's going to be with all of us. The Holy Spirit that's with us everywhere, every day. And I just know that we need to think about these things all the time. Because there's a place of discomfort. That sometimes we just want to run away from those things. We just want to make life better, smoother, more amazing, everything better. But there's a place of discomfort where Jesus is saying that I will walk with you through the discomfort. Man, I remember coming here. Lee, her parents is staying here in Somerset West. They're not here now. They're in Stadtrein. Skoonpa is working there at a sawmill. But when they were here, so that was the time when I had to come and ask him if I can marry Lee. So there's a bit of a discomfort. I don't know why, but that was not an easy conversation. It's easy to go to the bride. It's easy to say, can we come over? Can we bride? I will bring meat. I will bring cool drink. That's all easy. It's easy to stand there under the tree in the backyard and we chit-chat and everything is lekker. And then I said, I just want to go to the bathroom. When I came back, Lee said, so did you go and pray or what are you doing? Does he know that I want to speak to her dad? I said, yes, just give me a moment. I'm working it through here. I need to come in at the right angle. I must see that he's ready to receive the word. And anyway, a lot of stuff. So then the bride just went on and on and on until I just said, okay, this is it. This is why I'm here. This is it. And he said, I've been waiting the whole time that you say something. So there's a lot of discomfort that we want to run away from. Where Jesus comes and he says, I invite you into that discomfort. I invite you into that. And we can, together, we can work it out. And it's a lot of battles that we face. But one of the battles we face is a battle of isolation. A battle of not being alone. We don't want to be alone. We just want to know that there's people that like us. There's people that think about us. There's people that's with me. There's people that's going to agree with me, whatever I say. You like to know that someone that backs you, where is it at work or wherever, and it helps. And in a sense, we try to create a community. I know on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and you just post some of the things that will be cool. It's so funny, Gustav will, when we just walk in the shops, so we're just walking and people, well, we do weird things, or we dress in a different way, or we put stuff on our head that's different. But Gustav, or the children, when they will look at someone and say, "Daddy, he just want to be cool. That's not really what he wants to do. He doesn't really want to wear that thing. He just want to be cool." And, they just, it seems like they're just honest. They just say it as it is. And I just love that of the children. And I realize that all of us, there's some things that we don't mind sharing. And then there's other things that we really want to hide and just say it to a few people after we made sure that they're going to receive it and they will be okay with whatever is on our hearts. But it's right in that space where Jesus is coming in and say, "I want to be with you and I back you and it's okay. You don't have to sort out everything. You don't have to get everything in place. I know about it. I know of everything." And it's my battle as well. It's the stuff that I go through as well. Even in a home, I'm referring to the children a lot this morning, but they are just very honest. They will come home and they say, "How's it going in class?" I said, "Daddy, the class is so noisy. The children doesn't listen to the teacher." So what's going on? So now the teacher, he says a lot of stuff, but he doesn't do any of it. So we know we don't have to listen until he raises his voice and starts shouting. But that takes a long time. So they figure out everything. They know. The same way God knows our hearts, he knows exactly what's going on. And as we come together this morning, I believe there's a space of discomfort where God is inviting us into. First, a place in our own hearts where God said, "I want to come in and I want you to share your heart with me. I want you to share everything with me. I want to journey with you. I want to restore the relationship between you and myself." And then I also want to restore the relationship with the people around you. So I'm thankful for the testimonies this morning. Because the topic of my sermon is actually uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes community and us coming together like this is uncomfortable. These people, the last time they talked to you, they said things you didn't like. So you actually don't want to see them too soon again. It's uncomfortable. I just know that the ultimate place to be is with Jesus. The ultimate place is in God's presence. So there's all this stuff in the world coming to take us away and to distract us from that ultimate place. The ultimate place is with Jesus, but there's all these things that's coming and wants to fill our lives and say that we're okay, and there's all this stuff, and it's stuff that keeps us busy. The CEO of Netflix, he doesn't compete with other TV channels. The only thing he competes with is our time and sleep. He can't do anything when we sleep. When we're awake, he can put more stuff on the TV and there's more things to watch. But that's his biggest competitor, is when we sleep. So he will do whatever to keep us awake. So as soon as the one thing stops, the next thing will start. Because that's his competition. I want to keep you glued to the screen. So in this, all these distractions and all the stuff that's happening, Jesus is walking right in. And even for me, I've this last few weeks, I realized there's some things that I really like. There's some things that I will make time for it. I will make effort to do those things. And then at the same time, sometimes I say, "But now I feel disconnected from God. I feel I want to do." But then I realized that God is always here. God never left. He never moved. He's with me. He didn't go anywhere. He's with me. And the invitation is always there to come to him and just to talk to him or just to start a conversation. And just to move towards that place of heaven. Because heaven is the ultimate place in the presence of God. and where hell is isolation, away from the presence of God. That's it. So I just want us to not to be depressed this morning. God is saying that His heart is for relationships to be restored. He loves it when we come together. Psalm 133, it says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. There's a blessing from God. When we come together, when we're in community, when we do life together, when the relationships are being restored, there's a blessing of God that comes with that. And I want to encourage us in this time that we will really strive to for relationships, that we will go the extra mile, we'll pick up the phone, we will visit, we will do whatever is necessary for the sake of relationships, for the sake of being with someone instead of doing stuff for someone. It's amazing when we see someone on the street. It's actually easier to say that, why are you here? There's different responses. It's just an example. When you walk down the street, there's different responses. You see someone, your first reaction might be, why are you here? Why is that guy here? What happened? Another response would be, just take this, there's some money, and just go off. Another thing must be, wow, I don't like that people's on the street in Somerset West. I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to start a campaign. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to have a group, and we're going to all say streets must be clean without people, and we're going to campaign for it, and we're going to do a lot of stuff. Well, then there's another option. Instead of doing all the stuff for someone, where we can actually sit down next to the person and just connect with him, where you can ask him, so why are you here? What has happened in your life? What are the things that you battle with? What are your dreams? What is it that you just want to tell someone? Then there's another option that someone in a book that I read, he say, when we do stuff with people, and for example, someone like this, that when you look at him, you all sort of have made up an opinion about this person. But they say, we must actually trust God that when we sit next to the person or anyone, and we're being with someone, that we trust God to speak through that person and show us something of the nature of God. Because there's something of God in everyone around us. There's something of God that God has placed in every person around us. And we must actually look for that and allow that to speak to us instead of just thinking of doing something for this person. And that's a challenge for me. Because it's always easier to just do stuff for people and handing things out. The challenge is of doing stuff with them and learning from them. So all my children, they're all different. That each one is a science by itself. I think all the parents will agree. So you really need to trust God how to connect with the heart of each of your children. Because gifts doesn't cut it. I can give them a lot of stuff. I can give them a lot of things. And they know what they want. They make their list. They put it on the fridge. And every week they update their list. So they make sure. It's not a birthday list. It's not a Christmas list. It's just a list. When someone wants to give them something, you can go on the fridge. And it's there. So Gustav and Samuel, they've got 100 things. Samuel, usually 3 things. And obviously he gets it. Because whatever one, if you want to bless him, don't gonna give him something else. He's got 3 things, so we'll make a plan. But to connect with them, I need to spend time with them. I need to sit with them. I need to be there with them. I need to hear their hearts. Because I have many stories, many moments in our house where we totally missed it. Where we just missed it, where we try to discipline one and he's just sad because the someone, the brother took his toy. And you know there's a rule, you can't just take the toy back. So he's sad. So I need to sit with him, spend time with him, and find out this is what's really happening. And once I said to him, okay, I see that you're sad, and I hear what the problem is, he was chirpy again and he ran off and it's all fine. Situation is still the same. Nothing changed. But I heard him. And that is the thing. I think that God is inviting us into a space of hearing one another. Not just doing stuff for one another, but spending time with one another. And I believe in this time that we're going in, there's an invitation from the Lord to move into the uncomfortable. To move into a space where it's not about just giving a great gift, which you hope that it will cover up a lot of stuff that we don't have to talk about, but that we can trust God to create a situation or a time where we can sit together and that everyone's hearts are soft and teachable and we can share what's on our hearts and that we can work it out. Often, like yesterday as well, some moments we just say, listen, I'm angry, you are angry, time out. It's not a good time to talk. So you go to my room, I'll go to my room. We'll spend 5 minutes and we come back and we continue and we talk again. And that's the same thing I trust for some of my family members, some friends, where everything isn't 100%, that I can have moments with them, that we can hear each other's hearts and that we can work things out. Because God came to restore relationships. He came to firstly restore the relationship between us and God, and then between us and people. That is the heart of God. John 13:35 said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Someone else said, mere attendance, this was for a church environment, mere attendance and association will no longer cut it. Maybe we could get by when society was on our side in thin relationship with fellow believers. But as opposition increases, the richness of our life together in the church will matter more than ever. The richness of our life together in church will matter more than ever. Because society is just going on. It's just moving and it's just demanding. I'm excited about what God wants to do. I'm excited about the journey. I'm excited about the testimonies that's going to come from my time, just with people, over this time and more. I know it's uncomfortable, but I also know the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us. And this morning, I just want to ask the ushers, they're just going to bring the communion. You don't have to move. You're going to ask him to hand it out. Where we are, we can just take communion. We can just spend time with the Lord and ask him to, Lord, help me. Help me to first to connect to your heart again. Maybe that is the uncomfortable space for you. Maybe that's a place where you think that you're on your own mission, doing your own stuff and just running hard, running strong, trusting for a lot of things to fall in place, and it's as if God must just tag along, and he must just help out. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus is with us. He's been there all the time. And he came, he sent Jesus to restore relationship. And whatever your relationship, whatever your time was with the Lord, so sometimes we have these stories. Those days when I came to the Lord, I was on fire. Those days, I did a lot of stuff for Jesus. No, those days are today. Jesus is inviting each one of us to run strong with him. I remember when I was too shy to tell someone that I pray for them. I remember those days. I used to, when I want to say to anyone, that's anyone, that I'm going to pray for them, I will write it in a paper. I'll write my prayer down. I'll make it very small. I'll put it in their hand. And I say, I'm going to leave now. When I'm gone, open the paper. And then I hope it will bless them. Those were the days. So I'm thankful I'm not there anymore. But I'm still aware of every now and then, there's something that I feel I need to share with someone, and it's just difficult. Or things happen in our lives. Someone's going through a hard time. You don't know what to say. The best thing is just to be there with the person. Often we don't have to say a lot of stuff. And then there's the places where the Lord is inviting us to restore relationships. A good friend of mine, that he had this thing in primary school. His best friend didn't want him to be popular in the school anymore, so he just spread a few lies. And then a couple of bad things happened, and they went separate ways. And they never spoke about it again. And at university, one day, my friend saw the guy, and he went to him, and he said, "Do you remember that day?" And when he said those words, the other guy just burst into tears. And he said, "Since that day, I felt sorry for what I've done." And their relationship got restored. And they are best friends again today. But the devil came and he robbed about 7 or 8 years from that relationship. Because no one was prepared to walk into that uncomfortable space and to share those things. So I'm aware of those things that we all face, those challenges. But I want to invite us to work things out, work it out. Don't become like those people that say, "I love Jesus, but I don't like his people." It's a weird thing. And often people are saying that, "I love Jesus, but I don't like people." We all get hurt. We say, "I love Jesus, but I just don't want to go there and this, I don't like." It's a scary place to be, because Jesus came for people. Jesus died for people. Jesus died for the people that's hurting me and you. Jesus died for those people that said those bad things to me and to you. That's why Jesus came. So I'm going to give us a moment where we just take communion. You can take it by yourself or maybe with someone next to you. And just bring those moments to the Lord. Bring maybe your own relationship to God. Maybe that is your uncomfortable space right now. So Lord, I want to come back to you, Lord. Just give him your heart. Or maybe there's some people that right now, you know, if you're going to go there, it's uncomfortable. But say, "Lord, you are with me. You came to restore relationships. And I'm trusting you to restore these relationships." I'm going to give a moment for that and then we'll end off. We were made for worship. We were made to connect with God. We are made for community. I want to invite us all for this time of the year where we're going in, that we can maybe switch off the phones and see what are those things that distract us and what are those things that prevent us firstly from connecting with God and then connecting with people. And then trust God that we will be present. We'll be present. When someone talks, that we can actually listen and respond. That we will connect with the Lord. Hear his voice, he's with us, he's speaking to us. We will hear that and respond to that and then respond to whatever he's telling us about those around us. And what he's telling us about ourselves. Lord, this morning we come together as your church, Lord, your people. Lord, we worship you. I thank you, Lord, that you were first, Lord, to make a plan to restore relationship between us and you and between us and people. And thank you, Father, that you are committed to community. You are committed to us. I pray, Lord, for the wisdom for each one of us, Lord. How to treat the people around us and how to be with those around us. How to spend time with them. How to make the most of our time. In Jesus' name. Lord, please come and help us to to break from those things that are stealing our time, to break from distractions that are not from you, to break from things that just taking us away from you, Lord, and from the people around us. That's actually costing us a lot, but we don't realize it. And I pray that each one of us, Lord, we will just be able every day to have time to worship you and to connect with you. Let's just sing together. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you that we can come together, be here with you, Lord. But thank you for your presence that's with us every day, Lord. I pray for each one as we move from here, Lord, that you will really take time to connect with you and hear your heart for us and for the people around us. Help us, Lord, to go and to be the light of this world, to be the salt, Lord, wherever we go over this time. Thank you that you are in the restoration business. You are the Redeemer. You are the Almighty God with us wherever we go. We worship you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want us to, before we leave, I just want to say, while the band, they can just go on playing. Our service is over, but maybe there's someone of you that just want to pray with someone. You just feel that you're not in a great space and you want to just make right with God again. I want to invite you to come forward. We'll be here that we can pray with you. Maybe you've got a sickness or a pain in your body that you're struggling with, and you just want someone to pray with you, to stand in faith with you for healing or for something to change. Maybe it's something with a family member or broken relationships, whatever. I want to invite you. Don't just go out of here. We're going to have time of fellowship there on the side, and there's coffee and cookies and everything, but also a time when we can respond to what God is doing in our hearts. So you're welcome to come forward. If you don't want to, please fellowship with us before you leave out of here, and then we see you again next Sunday. Thank you.